Jannavallabha Hrivaradhari Govi Jannavallabha Hrivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Yamunatira Monachari Jayarada Madhava Kunjavihari Jayarada Madhava Kunjavihari Govijana Bhallava Hrivarada Govijana Bhallava Hrivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Paramahansa, Parivrajakacharya, Ashtatera Sata, Sri Srimad, Chidandi Goswami, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa, Parivrajakacharya, Ashtatera Sata, Sri Srimad, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Pentataha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamun Mai ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Bhakti Dev ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading the last verse of this chapter. Madhuti Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Before we begin, I ask the blessings of all the devotees and forgiveness in advance for whatever mistakes I am sure to make. Please overlook and bless me that I may serve the Bhagavatam today with something, some understanding I may have by the grace of Prabhupada. So Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the 8th canto, it's the 9th chapter, and this is the text 29. (Clears throat) Yad yujyate su vasukarma mano vachobir. Dehatma jadi shunaris tadasat prittak tvat. Tair eva sad bhavati yat kriyate prittak tvat. Sarvasya tad bhavati mula nishechanam yat. Yad yujate su vasukarma mano vachobir. Dehat majadi shunaris tadasat pritak tvat. Tair eva sad bhavati yat kriyate pritak tvat. Sarvasya tad bhavati mula nishechanam yat. Others? Ladies? Yat, whatever, yujyate, is performed, asu, for the protection of one's life, vasu, protection of wealth, karma, activities, manaha, by the acts of the mind, vachovihi, by the acts of words, deha atma jadishu, for the sake of one's personal body or family, etc., with reference to the body. Personal body or family, etc., with reference to the body. Okay. Nirbihi, by the human beings. Tat, that. Asat, impermanent, transient. Prataktivat, because of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tai, by the same activities. Eva, indeed. Satbhavati, becomes factual and permanent. Yat, which kriyate, is performed. Apritaktvat, because of non-separation. Sarvasya, for everyone. Tat bhavati, becomes beneficial. Mula nishechanam, exactly like pouring water on the root of a tree. Yat, which. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. In human society, there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone, just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. Purport. This is the distinction between materialistic activities and activities performed in Krishna consciousness. The entire world is active, and this includes the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. However, all activities except those of the bhaktas, the devotees, end in bafflement and a waste of time and energy. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vicheta saha. If one is not a devotee, his hopes, his activities, and his knowledge are all baffled. A non-devotee works for his personal sense of gratification or for the sense gratification of his family, society, community, or nation. But because all such activities are separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are considered asat. The word asat means bad or temporary, and sat means permanent and good. Activities performed for the satisfaction of Krishna are permanent and good. But asat activity, although sometimes celebrated as philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, thisism, or thatism, will never produce any permanent result and is therefore all bad. Even a little work done in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset and is all good because it is done for Krishna, the all-good Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everyone's friend. Suridam sarvabhuta nam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only enjoyer and proprietor of everything. Bhuktaram jagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Therefore, any activity performed for the Supreme Lord is permanent. As a result of such activities, the performer is immediately recognized. Na cha tasman manushyeshu kaschin me priya kritamaha. Such a devotee, because of full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is immediately transcendental. Although he may superficially appear to be engaged in materialistic activities. The only distinction between materialistic activity and spiritual activity is that material activity is performed only to satisfy one's own senses, whereas spiritual activity is meant to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By spiritual activity, everyone factually benefits, whereas by materialistic activity, no one benefits. And instead, one becomes entangled in the laws of karma. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. Om Agyanath Mrandasya Gnanjana Salakaya Chukshumajitam Chinda Tasmai Sri Gurudev Namaha Ukam Kaloti Vachalam Pangam Jantai Kekirim Jadri Patamam Vande Sri Gurum Vinataya Paramanam Nama Sri Chitamishra. Hare Krishna. Anything, everything, anything you do in this world that is not done for Krishna is ultimately useless. So you can argue, no, why? Why? I am doing something now, it will benefit humanity. There is an idea in the world that the universe is developing, unfolding, going on and on. Science is progressing. Yes, today I may achieve just so much, but tomorrow my future generations, they will achieve more. And ultimately, we will grow and grow and will become bigger and better and will explore the universe and will populate the universe and the universe will get greater and everything will become more and more wonderful and we're all contributing to the ultimate good of the progress of material energy. It is started as just a big, you know, it was all nothing. And from nothing, it's growing, it's growing, it's becoming bigger, it's becoming better. Life has evolved, people have evolved, intelligence has evolved. People are becoming smarter, and they're becoming greater, they're making bigger things, and the universe is getting better and better and better and better. This is the illusion that people are struggling under. But actually, what is the end result? Even the scientists who cling to this, this is their reason to live. There's been debates with atheistic scientists and between theist and atheist. And it's hinged around, well, if you're not, if there's no God, then what is the purpose of anything? If there's no creator, if everything is by chance, then what is the purpose of anything? Why exist? And the response has been, well, you just make your purpose. You create your purpose. You don't have to have been given a purpose. You can create it yourself.
So on this basis, the atheists have evolved, because to live without purpose, how can you live without purpose? If you have no purpose, then why live at all? There's been studies about what constitutes happiness, well-being. And the first element of a person who is thriving in this world is that they have some purpose in life. Maybe it is just to raise a family, whatever it is. So for the atheist, they have to have a purpose. So they've invented this idea that the universe is evolving towards some grand development of intelligence. So many books and novels speculating on this have grown up. But the fact is that the universe is moving, yes, it is evolving, it is going forward, and where does it end up? Destruction. It all just comes back. Everything is finished. So not only is our activity in this life finished, so many things that we've achieved are finished at the time of our death. Well, you say, no, we're passing on to future generations. But then those generations are finished, and then the generations after them, and the planets after them, and the universe itself, is it all finished? So therefore, this verse says that because it is asat, because everything we do in this material world must be impermanent. There can be nothing permanent. Nothing can be permanent in this world. Therefore, it is asat and ultimately useless. As opposed to those activities which are engaged with the eternal supreme person. Those activities, those endeavors performed in devotion for the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, they are permanent. They are never lost. Now, many of us sitting here may be thinking, certainly I think so many times a day, hey, I've been chanting this Hare Krishna mantra now for almost 50 years. 1970 is when I began chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And for most of the time, I've been chanting 16 rounds. There have been some times when I've, had little lapses, but most of the time. So I've been chanting 16 rounds. And fortunately, by the grace of so many circumstances, I've been able to, almost all of this time, have some service to ISKCON, doing some devotional service. And now I'm in my, late 60s, getting it on there. Time is coming. the sign, the writing is on the wall. things that used to be easy are no longer easy. Body is starting to show its wear and tear. Who knows how long? And I think, my Krishna consciousness is still, it's grown, certainly. It's not the same as although sometimes I think how enthusiastic, how many of you feel like that? We were young devotees in the temple. We were so enthusiastic. We would sleep for, minimum time and just everything going. And now, sometimes a little harder. Enthusiasm wanes. And I think, well, but, you know, I've been working, I've been doing this, and yet that goal, that place where you're always thinking of Krishna. I mean, we're doing this so that we get to that place where the mind becomes free of all these thoughts of enjoying this world. That just jump in. I mean, maybe I am speaking for myself, and perhaps many of you here have achieved that place of freedom where the mind is fully absorbed just in thinking of Krishna. But for me, it's there, I can see it, but it's you know, I sit down, I chant, every morning I sit down to chant the holy names of Krishna. I make prayers, I say, please, let me just think, just hear the holy names of Krishna, just nothing else, let me just put aside all those thoughts of service, etc. And I go, and I'm chanting, and I'll almost make it through half a round. And something comes in. And before I know it, I've chanted a whole one, I mean, on my beads, I've progressed one round or one and a half rounds, and wait a minute, I'm supposed to be hearing the holy names of Krishna. So, you might get discouraged. You might think, so I've been at this for 40 years, 50 years now, and yet progress seems to be so slow. But then when you compare it, if you look at it and you say, well, here what Bhagavatam says is that don't worry. It's permanent. Every step you make in this path is a permanent asset. Everything else is not. Nothing else that you do is going to last. It's all going to be finished. If not in this life, in the next life, not in your lifetime, in your children's lifetime, in the universe's lifetime, it's all finished. But this endeavor, this effort to reach Krishna, to connect with Krishna, to give, to surrender to Krishna, that is permanent. And not only is it permanent for you, this is what is being also wonderfully given to us here, that not only are you benefiting, not only are you making progress, not only are you becoming free, not only are you stepping closer and closer out of the material world, but by your service to Krishna, everyone is being benefited. Everyone is receiving that blessing. So, this, Prabhupada says, is the difference between materialistic activity and spiritual activity. When we act for Krishna, how is it? I know the ending, I'm trying to remember the beginning, but it ends Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate Sarvapadi Vinmir Nuktam Tat Paradvena Nirmalam Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. When Sarvopadi Vimir Muktam, when you give up the idea that I am this body, I am a member of this particular family, I am a part of this particular community, I am a citizen of this particular nation. When you give up all those designations Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat paritvena nirmalam. And you surrender to the Supreme Paratattva. And you engage Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. You engage those activities that you were giving to all those designations. That you were engaging in relationship to all those designations, the body, the family, the society, the friends, the nation. When you take all those activities and you engage them for the service of Krishna, for His pleasure. Remembering Bhoktaram, this is also stated here, Bhoktaram Jagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam. Remembering that this offering, this service to Krishna, is not the service of a slave to some horrible master, or even benevolent master. But it's a service to the most dear friend. It's serving your most intimate and dear friend, the person who has the most love for you imaginable. We're all searching for that person who will love us unconditionally, who will love us regardless of all the faults and all the defects that we have. Who will love us despite the idiots that we are so often. How many times do we do something and then we say, oh, that was stupid. And we're afraid, oh, maybe people won't like me anymore. They'll see through my show of being, you know, a together person, and they'll see actually I'm just an idiot. There's a saying, don't be afraid of your inner idiot, because we all have it. we all have the inner idiot that just comes out from time to time. In fact, pretty much that's who we are. But we're all looking for that person who will love us without any conditions, despite all of these things. Just as a mother or father loves a child despite the child's doing all kinds of not so pleasant things, like uncontrolled various. Anyway, I won't get into all that. Those of you who have had children or who have lived with children or remember being a child know that there's a lot of inconvenience that a child brings. But the mother loves, the father loves the child, regardless. So that's Krishna. That's Krishna. He is Suridam. He is our most dear friend. So to serve Him, to offer something to Him, to say, yes, let me be your servant. We can be secure knowing that there is no possibility of loss. There's no possibility that our service, our activity will result in anything that is not the best possible thing for us. No possibility, because He is our perfect friend. And He's in our hearts. Suridam. So He knows everything better than we do. So this is the difference. When we turn our activities away from serving all this false designation body, mind, extended family, society, community. We turn that service away and we serve the Lord. Now, serving the Lord doesn't mean we stop serving our family, our society, our friends, and our communities. We continue to serve them, but we serve them in the different way. Not for sense gratification, but for the pleasure of Krishna. For Krishna's pleasure, and for the ultimate benefit of everyone. Now, in this purport, something struck me that I thought I wanted to address in addition to these basic points. Because Srila Prabhupada, he becomes quite critical of, he says, what does he say here? Activities performed for the satisfaction of Krishna are permanent and good, but asat activity, although sometimes celebrated as philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, this-ism or that-ism, will never produce any permanent result and is therefore all bad. Now, I come from a family of altruists. My mother and father were, very deeply altruistic, as far as they could. And my father was a scientist working in a university. He didn't go to the drug companies where he could have made three times more money because he was working for the good of humanity, doing research and finding out cures anyway. And my mother was involved in all kinds of activist activities for peace and justice, etc. They were altruists and generous also. They saw our movement as being altruist, as being beneficial for the world, and they gave substantial contributions. So that was a good benefit. So when I hear this, I get a little bit, well, wait a minute, there must be some good to all of this. And then I remember that in the Bhagavad Gita, doesn't Krishna says something about this. And Prabhupada said something, so I thought I would share that because it gives a little bit of another angle to these type of activities. So you may recall this is from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it's text 11. So as you may recall, there's a series. Krishna is saying, surrender to me, just think of me, serve me. But then he says, if you can't do that, then engage in regulative bhakti yoga, and if you can't do that, then at least serve me. And then he ends up, not actually, he doesn't end up with this, is not the last thing. The last thing is, he said, cultivate knowledge. But just before that, he says, if, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes reference. Says, it is also found that when one who is not even interested in the activities of Krishna consciousness, someone who is not even interested in Krishna consciousness, like my parents, they were not interested in the activities. They appreciated, but they weren't interested in chanting or, they liked prasadam, and they liked to, they come to the temple sometimes. One time we were in Budapest, and just so happened, very by Krishna's mercy, that it was day of Rath Yatra. So we joined, my father and mother and our family, and we joined the Rath Yatra. And I saw it, my father commented, look at how happy they are. That's one thing I have to appreciate about your movement. You're very happy people. So they appreciated, they liked, but they were not interested in following Krishna consciousness. So it is also found that when one who is not even interested in the activities of Krishna consciousness give charity to some hospital or some other social institution, he gives up the hard-earned results of his activities. That is also recommended here. Because by the practice of giving up the fruits of one's activities, one is sure to purify his mind gradually, and in that purified stage of mind, one becomes able to understand Krishna consciousness. So, and then it goes on, in that respect, social service, community service, national service, sacrifice for one's country, etc., may be accepted so that someday one may come to the stage of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. So here we see one little out for the altruists. Although their activities in and of themselves, in and of themselves, all of these altruist activities actually have no permanent benefit. It's a fact. Who can argue? Who can argue? They go, well, but the world will come to an end one day. There cannot be any permanent benefit to any of these things. And even you go further than that, you can see that practically speaking, almost all of the altruistic activity that people perform in this world has another side to it. Someone else is suffering, or something comes up that you know, we for the benefit of humanity, we've invented so many different drugs that can help this disease and that disease, and then some other disease comes up. So ultimately, even from that point of view, you can argue, yeah, no, these things are not really beneficial. But there is a benefit. There is a benefit. The benefit is that those who are not interested, who do not have the sukriti, they don't have the piety to engage in devotional service, if they simply do some sacrifice of their wealth or their time or their energy for some cause better than themselves, beyond themselves, that will purify their consciousness. It will begin to purify their consciousness to the point that they can hear about Krishna. So, my suggestion, is that yes, the fact is, all this altruistic activity in and of itself simply is part of this material world. But the benefit is still there by advancing one's consciousness. Therefore, we have the Varnashram system. In the Varnashram system, it's not expected that everyone be engaged fully in Krishna consciousness. But they're given roles in society which are based on mutual cooperation. Everyone in the Varnashram system must sacrifice. It's a universal principle for everyone in Varnashram. There must be some self-sacrifice. The Vaishyas must give in charity, the Kshatriyas must, practically speaking, be ready to give up their lives, the Shudras give their time and their energy. The Brahmins give knowledge freely. Everyone must sacrifice. And by this mood of sacrifice, of cooperation, of giving, the consciousness becomes gradually elevated. And especially when done under the framework of Shastra, which brings Krishna into every aspect of that sacrifice. So, I thought that was an interesting additional point that comes out from this verse. So to conclude, we have the choice of material life and spiritual life. It is present before us at every moment. Every breath we take, every move we make. Okay. He's watching you. We have the choice to either stay in the consciousness that this is for me, or enter the consciousness, this is for Krishna. Let Krishna be satisfied. Let him be pleased. Let him accept this as service, even though he does not need it. But as a loving friend, let him please accept this insignificant offering. Hare Krishna. So we have 2 minutes before nine. I'm sorry, I didn't watch the time well. So if there's some question, we can still take a question or comment, at least one or two. Or we can stop. Yes. Oh, microphone, yes, here we go.
Concerning our objective of becoming fully Krishna conscious in this life, because you mentioned there's some, we can become old and then suddenly may realize that I still have some path to go. So in that connection, do you observe that there are certain standards that Srila Prabhupada set, which are nowadays not taken so serious, and which we could or should take more serious again?
Standards that he set. That's a very individual question, because the standard, he set different standards for different people and different circumstances, and I don't think you can cross the board, just say, okay, in our movement, there's a diminishing of standards in general. I think it's basically all, each one of us needs to look at ourselves and say, okay, you know, how am I meeting the standard of my situation? Because if I'm a brahmachari, there's one standard. If I'm a grihastha, there's a different standard. And even within those, there are, you know, gradations as well. Srila Prabhupada had very, you know, gave us very high standards. But my observation in growing up in this movement in the 70s and so on, is that even though he gave us high standards then, like your question was, are there things that you know, are our standards now not what they were at that, you know, I think that was your question. And I would say, well, honestly, you know, we, in some ways, we had, you know, maybe some higher standards in some areas, but we had some lower standards in others. And we've improved. For example, in our deity worship, for example, right now, in most of our centers, the standard of a deity worship is far greater than it was during when I was involved in deity worship. Because we know a lot. We've trained. We've become more experienced. It's not. We just have developed. Yes, there are some places where the standards have gone down, perhaps, but I think that's just an individual area. I would say that the one thing, though, that I think that is, it's not a standard, but it's a quality of our movement, which I think that we are struggling more with today than we did then. And it's kind of natural. In Srila Prabhupada's time, we had Srila Prabhupada. We had this general, this amazing preaching general who was motivating and moving the devotees to achieve great things with little qualification. And today I feel that although I think we've become more qualified and we're older, we're more mature, more wise, we haven't in some ways found the same level of cooperation that we had under that general. Because now we don't have such a unified, a person that just can sort out any problem at any time. So we have to sort out our problems through more complex methods. And so that is something that I think we need to pay more attention to, how we can become more and more unified and cooperative in spreading Krishna consciousness. And I think as we do that, we will see many doors opening up that perhaps we're not seeing today. But that's not something, I wouldn't call that a standard. That's just a quality of our movement that is natural. It has to evolve like that. We have to go there. We were at the ILS and they gave us an explanation of the stages of an organization, a movement. And beginning with the pioneering stage. So we, few of us here in this room were present during the pioneering stage of, and some people still are in different parts of the world are in that pioneering mode. And as I remember, the next was a rational, you've been pioneering, but now you need to start putting in some systems, you need to put some organization into place. But then there's another stage that comes after that, where the spirit of that pioneering phase and the organization starts in its synthesizing and things start to become even better. So that's the stage we're in now. So it's different. So I'd say that there are differences rather than, I don't know if that answers your question. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Dhanyavaad.